Greetings in the name of our Savior as we gather to worship God on this, the Lord's Day. Welcome to, if you're visiting with us. Today we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, so we have a note in the bulletin, if you're visiting with us, that you might read. We have certain convictions concerning the Lord's Supper and who should partake and who shouldn't. We'd ask you to please read that. And as you read that, if you are confirmed in your own heart that you know Christ and you've publicly professed your faith in Him, we welcome you to the table. We pray that it might be a great blessing to you today. We have a lot of people away. Two of our elders are away. One of our elders is in Reading. The whole Hattinger family is down in Reading. Kim may have had her baby by now. I'm not sure. They said possibly in at night. So have you heard anything? Anyone heard anything? So keep Kim and Frank in prayer and Jaden as they're waiting this new arrival. The Truscotts are up in Maine for a couple of weeks. So this evening we're having a hymn sing at 6:30. And come on out and sing these hymns we love. You might want to take a hymnal home and look through it and find a favorite or two so you're not put on the spot if you're here tonight. Then sing the hymns that we love to remind us of our Savior and build us up in the faith. As I mentioned last week, if you're thinking about becoming a member here at Living Hope, we have classes that you need to go through. And it's three classes. Unless you are transferring from an Orthodox Presbyterian church or a PCA church where you have studied the book Confessing Christ, which is a common book that we use, if you have done that, we don't require you to go through the first two classes, but the third. And I have some people who are going to be going through the third of the series and one person interested in the whole class. So I'm trying to see if we've got somebody else. Said Wednesday nights for me right now are free. Can be a little flexible on that. So if this is something you're thinking about, please let me know. The field trip to the Good Shepherd home, there is a sign-up sheet for that. So look into that. Looking to find some people who would be willing to be involved in a ministry of visiting our friends at the Good Shepherd home. And you might be a little reticent to do that. I understand that. But the purpose of this is to help you to get over that and to be able to visit the people at the Good Shepherd home and be a blessing to them. And you'll find out that, as somebody once said, you get as much a blessing as the people and even more as you visit. So think about that. We're taking our Deacon's Fund offering. After the Lord's Supper, so ready for that as well. Let's stand together. We're going to stand together and sing the Gloria Patri, a very old expression of praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father. It was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. There are calls to worship that present us with the awesomeness and the glory and the worthiness of God for our worship. And there are many. There are also passages which tell us about what God has done for us. And on this Sunday when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I want to call us to worship with two passages that just speak about the love of God and what He's done for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How great is the love of the Father that has been lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that indeed is what we are. And let us, as the children of God, worship the eternal God, our Heavenly Father, as we sing together hymn number 455.
Condemnation now.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we have sung in response to hearing of the wonderful love that you have for us, that you sent your only Son and you didn't wait for us to clean up our act, to stop sinning, but while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We gather this morning on this, the Lord's Day. We gather simply to worship you in all that we do. We pray, Father, that this, the Lord's Day, would be used to honor you, to rest in the work of Christ, to rest physically, but most of all, to think upon the things of God. As we worship you this morning, as we hear your word, and especially as we come to the table of our Lord, and as we eat with him, and as he feeds us spiritually, Lord, have mercy on us. We pray for those in our midst who do not know Christ, the young children who've not yet come to faith in him. We don't know the hearts of anyone here today. We pray, Father, for those who might be living in secret sin, or those who have rebelled, or those who have strayed from the cross. May today be the day when, as the prodigal son, they come home and they see the Father's love, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The law of God is expressed in the Scriptures in many different places. We have it in that summary form in Exodus and Deuteronomy and what we call the Ten Commandments, which we read most often when we have the Lord's Supper. But what I want to do this morning is go to Romans 12. I preached a series on Romans 12 once called Normal Christian Living. It's a rather challenging chapter that lays before us the duties that we should fulfill, the ways we should live if we love Christ. I think it would be good for us to hear this chapter and to examine ourselves concerning our performance, which always falls short, asking God to reveal our sin to us, that we might confess our sins this morning. Hear God's law as we have it in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given. If it is serving, let him serve. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me just read three more verses. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. For those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. Let's bow before the Lord in silence and confess our sins to the Lord, as surely the reading of Romans 12 and 13 exposes our disobedience and the rebellion of our hearts. Let us confess to the Lord. Our Father, hear us as we confess to you. As I serve now as the voice of your people, we ask that you might forgive us of those sins that cling to us, that we don't see, that we're ignorant of, that we're rationalizing away, that we somehow or other think we are the exception to concerning your word as it condemns sin. For Lord, there is only hope when we admit our sin, for when we admit it and confess it, there's forgiveness. But if we cling to it, we will one day answer to you and you will judge us for it. Lord, give to us the grace to just say, "I have sinned." Amen. I want to read a portion of the gospel as it comes to us from Romans 5, the encouragement to us, we who are sinners, saved by grace. We are reminded by God through the Apostle Paul of the gospel. Let us hear Romans 5, 1 through 11. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And the hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, in just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Take comfort in the gospel promise that Christ died for sinners, of whom we are, and we are reconciled to God through him. We're going to sit and sing a medley of songs about the gospel and about Christ and about what he has done for us.
All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you more. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death. Alone, my hope is found. He is
When Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the gospel affects all of our lives. It affects our giving. And Paul encourages the Corinthians to give in this way. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And then he calls them to give, that others might hear of this Savior. Let us worship God with our giving. Let me read Luke 11, or 7, 11 through 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Please pray together with me. Our Father in heaven, as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, giving attention to the preaching of your word, we pray that you would remind us of our Savior and what he has done for us. Encourage us in the truths of the gospel. We pray for those among us who don't know Christ, that you might use the word today to open their eyes to their sin, their need of the Savior, the loveliness of his cross, and that they might come to him and be saved. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.